Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's program. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask your question during the question-and-answer session. Please note this call is being recorded. I will be standing by if you should need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Brendan Hopkins. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Singing Machine 2017 third quarter earnings call. We have a quick disclaimer, and then we'll get started. Except for historical information contained herein, the statements in this conference call are forward-looking statements that are made pursuant to the safe harbor provisions of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve known and unknown risks and uncertainties, which may cause our actual results in future periods to differ materially from forecasted results. With that said, I would like to turn the call over to Gary Atkinson, CEO of Singing Machine.
Thank you, Brendan. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Gary Atkinson. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of the Singing Machine Company. Joined with me this morning with Lionel Marquis, our CFO, and Bernardo Mello, our VP of Sales. Just want to thank everybody for taking the time this morning to go over the third quarter earnings with us. For those that haven't seen it, our third quarter report dropped early this morning, I think around 7 a.m., widely available on singingmachine.com or any other major financial website to review those earnings. So before I get started, Lionel's going to be reviewing the numbers for us, and then we're going to turn the call over to Bernardo, who will talk through some of the sales for the third quarter. I just want to say we're very pleased with the status of the results so far year to date. We've still shown impressive growth on the top line and significant improvement to our pre-tax earnings on the bottom line. So we're very, very thrilled and pleased with the results so far of the fiscal year. In terms of the third quarter, you know, what we've seen there is basically just a smoothing effect where we had a lot of retailers this year that were buying early, major retailers that were buying more year-round, and we see that as a positive. We see that as a less reliance on a heavy one quarter to do most of our sales, and so for us we're happy with it. We're pleased to see more of a year-round smoothing in terms of our sales. Ultimately, that's the goal where we want to get to, where we see more consistent and even quarters distributed throughout the year. So, with that being said, Lionel Marquis, I'll turn it over to you, and we can go in more detail about some of the numbers.
Okay, great. Good morning, everyone. I'd like to just highlight some financial numbers that came through during the quarter. The timing effect that Gary just referred to, quarter three for fiscal year 17, we did $16.3 million versus $20.7 million last year at the same quarter. Again, timing was the issue. We did a lot more shipment of Black Friday goods last year at this time than we did at this time, direct import. So consequently, that dropped approximately $4.4 million. However, year-to-date, we're up by $4.1 million, 49.3 to 45.2. That's a 9% increase in net sales. And again, a lot has to do with the extra Black Friday SKU taken by one major customer, as well as an increase in our UK business. The gross profit was 5.0 versus 5.6. Again, somewhat commensurate with the drop in the timing of the shipments, the drop in sales. However, our gross profit percentage was 30.1 versus 27.1 in the prior quarter. And again, the Black Friday timing of shipments that shipped in Q2 were a lower margin type of items compared to more normalized, if you will, full margin product during this quarter. We also had some cost reductions on existing models that certainly assisted us in getting our profit margins up. So if you look at year to date, we have a 12.7 gross profit margin versus 11.4, or an increase of 11%, 1.3. And again, we had on a gross profit percentage wise, 25.7% margin versus 25.2 in the prior year. That's a 0.5% increase, 2% gain, if you will, on a percentage basis. And that higher margin yield is based on better yield on downloading the new download product line, as well as some of the cost reductions that we received on existing goods. our selling expenses. During Q3, 9.8% of sales versus 9.2% in the prior year. 1.6 versus 1.9 million, or it was decreased by 0.3, and a lot of it was commensurate with the sales decrease. But on a year-to-date basis, we had $4.3 million in selling expenses versus 4.2. That's approximately 0.1 or $100,000 increase, and that's 2% compared to 11% compared to the 9% in sales increase. So as you can see, the sale as a percentage of gross sales, we dropped from 9.3% last year to date to 8.7%. And that's because of the incremental goods that we got from the one major retailer, as well as the UK incremental carry, no co-ops, no special marketing programs. So as a result, as a percentage of sales, we were able to drop those selling expenses down. G&A, year-to-date, we are 8.1% versus 8.2%, so we've pretty much held the line in terms G&A expenses, expenses as compared to net sales. Our pre-tax income was 1.9 this quarter versus 2.1 million in fiscal year 16. That's just a $200,000 drop. For year to date, we're talking about $4 million versus $3 million. It's a $1 million increase of 33.3%. Again, improved margin plus lower sales and G&A as a percentage of sales, all of this has helped us carry some of this to the bottom line. So from a pre-tax income or an operating standpoint or EBITDA, that's a 33.3% improvement over the year. So 9% increase in sales, 33.3% improved pre-tax income. Those are all what we consider to be very, very positive numbers going forward. If you look at net income was $1.3 million versus $2 million, or a $0.7 million decrease. On a year-to-date, 2.7 versus 2.6, or $100,000 better. What should be pointed out here is that last year, during the third quarter, we had a $700,000 valuation, tax valuation reserve that we reversed, which gave us a positive impact for the quarter. It was something that we had carried forward for several years. It's basically an accounting type of requirement, and that definitely impacted last year's net income by approximately $700,000, both quarter-to-date and year-to-date. So if you look at it on a tax basis, we encourage you to look at the pre-tax income and what we've done in operations, as opposed to the accounting technicality that was done for net income and the taxes, if you will. From a balance sheet perspective, just a couple of things to note. Our related party debt dropped $1.3 million, $3.6 million to $2.3 million. With regards to related party, we are still on track, as we talked about last quarter, to be out of the related party debt other than the portion that is subordinated to the bank at $1.9 million. And the plans going forward, when we renegotiate our loan package, which comes due in July, we will be most likely converting the remaining $1.9 million into a note and most likely try and pay off that debt within the next 2 years, which would leave us totally free of debt from related party. With regards to the revolving line of credit, it was $2.2 million versus $1.8 million last year, and we're totally, in January, we're totally out of the line, and it happened approximately the same time as what it did last year. So all in all, cash flow was is significantly positive, allowing us to pay our related party debt down and get us in a position to see the light at the end of the tunnel and totally paying off the related party debt. So those are the highlights. I will take questions later.
Okay, thanks, Lionel. Before I turn the call over to Bernardo, I think it warrants touching on this again from the
sort of big picture financials. So in the third quarter, comparing this year's third quarter to last year's third quarter, I want everyone to really understand the difference. It's not a true apples to apples comparison when you look between the net income of both years. Like Lionel mentioned, there was a $700,000 positive pickup in our tax provisions that we recorded last year. So I think the true comparison really lies in the income before tax line. And you'll see there in this third quarter, despite $4 million less in sales, we actually had basically the same bottom line in this third quarter. So I see that as a very strong positive for us. We were able to improve margins significantly to make up for that. So that to me is a strong positive. I don't want people to get caught up just looking at the bottom line when really there were some tax issues that caused that wide difference. And then again, looking at 9 months year to date, we're actually $1 million ahead pre-tax of where we were last year. And you know, last year was a very good year for us. So the fact that we're $1 million in bottom line earnings ahead of last year, I think says a lot about the year we're having. So with that being said, I just wanted to remind everybody to really take a close look at that before making any judgments on the year. And with that, I'll turn it over to Bernardo.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. Hope everyone is doing okay. I just want to highlight some of the real big wins for us this year. And you know, we've gotten a little used to the good performance in during the holiday season for Singing Machine and for karaoke as well, and that trend continued this year. You know, as Lionel had mentioned before, we got some Black Friday promotions that were really killer this year. But two things that I want to point out there. Not only did Walmart did extremely well with their Black Friday, I mean, we increased the number from previous Black Friday promotion that we've done at Walmart. You know, they were sold out pretty much over 95% within Black Friday and that early Cyber Monday performance. But also online increased, the number increased drastically without affecting what store sales were doing. So we're gaining new customers there. On the online space that I'm going to highlight also later on, but our inline item at Walmart continued to perform well. You know, it continues to surprise us. It's a 7-year-old item, and it just continues to get better as the years go by. And one thing that we've now established is we have the number one microphone, pretty much in the market. We're putting out a microphone at $99.99 that's being picked up by everybody and is selling through well. And what we're finding is that we're gaining customers not only from the karaoke side, but just people coming by that may have a PA system or may have another karaoke machine, and we're picking up those sales over some of our competitors out in the space. Amazon continues strong number. They had a 40% year-over-year growth this year. And that's that we had close to $1.5 million of lost sales due to timing issues or inventory issues that we might have had on hot items. So we recently met here to make sure that we forecast better with them and we get timely information from them. But you know, their excuse is, you know, it's hard to continue to budget for 40% increase, but we still were able to accomplish that, and it could have been a lot higher. On the club side, we had real positive with the transition unit there. We've done the pedestal unit, which has been a staple for us for a very long time. And last year, we took proof of concept on the download from the year before with a small test at Costco, and we rolled it out to all three clubs. And every single one of the clubs had over 90% sell-through on the download concept. So we're extremely happy about that, about the sell-through on that. You know, sometimes first adapters of technology could maybe resent it a little bit because we took out the CD player, but for the most part, people welcomed it, they bought it, and they enjoyed it. We've even started a campaign where we're calling people back, you know, just to get their feedback on the download. And to a team, we haven't had I think only one person complained about the CD. Everybody else was pretty upbeat about having the technology available to them to download their music. So that was really positive. Another thing that happened is Target and Toys R Us increased their Black Friday offering from a $49.99, they went up to $69 this year, and found success at the higher ASP, which is encouraging for us because as we roll out our two-tier strategy, which is a strategy from the toy side on the lower price points and continue to increase the price point on the karaoke side, we're noticing that higher ASPs are working just fine, both at the retail level and online. We also had a positive test with Walmart on the consumer electronics side, which places us in two different parts of the stores. And we think that test could lead to some positive sales for this upcoming year. Our UK distributor expanded his distribution to some other countries, not only the UK. We're going into Germany, we're going into France, we started dabbling a little bit in Italy, are growing our partnerships with Amazon and some other retailers in the UK. He was out of stock by November. So the popularity of the karaoke is also increasing in the European markets, which is very encouraging for us. The reason he was out of stock by November is that some of the promotions that we were running in September and October turned out to be extremely fruitful for us, and we turned around and ended at everything by November. So that's another area that we're gonna address this year to make sure that we're also supporting him and manufacturing and producing products so that he could stay in stock year round. Canada also had a banner year. They had some big wins at Toys R Us, at Canadian Tire, Costco. Costco Canada also had a great year with the download series. So the proof of concept on the download series also worked internationally as well. I forgot to mention that Costco UK also carried the download series. Interesting of note online, sometimes we analyze the online sales as stealing from brick and mortars, and we did an analysis in combination with one of our online our top online retailer, and we saw that 47% of the customers that are buying Singing Machine product on their website are actually brand new customers to the category. That they've never searched for karaoke, that they haven't purchased karaoke in the last 3 years, that they were just roaming around the website looking for products during the holiday season, and they stumbled on Singing Machine, and we closed the deal. We also saw some high conversion rates on some promotions that we ran online, to the tune of 17% conversion rate on some of the banner ads that we ran. So, people when we're putting Singing Machine in front of consumers, whether it's by cross promoting through toys or cross promoting through electronics or musical instruments or audio, we are seeing an incredible conversion rate, where the industry rate is usually under 10%, and we're seeing some of that conversion rate even on the higher ASPs, as I mentioned before, items over $150 and above. So it bodes well for us that the transition over to online is just not brick and mortars losing shares, but actually online creating unique new customers to our line, and that continues to go well because as we all know, people are feeling more and more comfortable with buying online, and also that brings in a more savvy, younger, affluent customer to our product line. We were seeing that some of the people on Amazon were in that over $80,000 income bracket that were buying our product. So you know, that those are the people that have the discretionary income to purchase, and if they're coming to purchase Singing Machine product, that, you know, that does show well for us, and it shows well for the toy line that we're also going to launch here. So that's the last thing I want to say before I get off is if you're in New York during the New York Toy Fair, please come by our booth. We'll share that booth number here before the end of the call. We're going to be presenting our new toy line that we've already received incredible feedback for, and we're looking to really promote it and get it out in front of all the buyers. So we already have a ton of appointments coming in, and we think that could really add some significant revenue for us in the upcoming year. So with that being said, I'll answer questions after the call, and I'll hand it over back to Gary.
Thank you, Bernardo. And before we wrap up the call and we start taking questions, I want to make sure I spend some time talking about the music downloads and the music subscriptions through the end of December. As we anticipated, we saw a significant increase in both the number of downloads that that our store took through the end of December, and also the number of music subscriptions through our karaoke mobile app that we saw also through the end of December. A couple of interesting things that we saw, some positives. The average revenue per paying user on the download side actually improved from last year in December. We saw about a $22 average revenue per paying user that came in the month of December on the download side. So that was a big win for us. We held the ARPU and even improved it over last year, so that was good. We saw an improvement in the conversion rates on the downloads from the prior year. One of the most interesting things that we saw that took us a little bit by surprise was while the number of downloads significantly increased, it didn't increase at the metric that we had anticipated. And what we saw instead was the number of subscriptions to the music service just took off. I mean, it flew much, much higher than we were anticipating. A couple of reasons why that might have happened. Number one, over 90% of the karaoke machines that we shipped out last year had Bluetooth features in it. So that definitely could have contributed to the higher number of mobile app subscription sales. But also, I think there was a slight shift in change of behavior with our consumers. And one of the things that we've always believed and has really held true is that Singing Machine customers are very, very willing to spend money on music if they're presented with a convenient, easy-to-use choice. And what we saw this so far through December, through the end of the third quarter, was a lot of people who maybe last year were downloading songs switch behavior to start streaming their music. And now that's not a new, you know, that's behavior that's been happening pretty consistently over the past few years, with a lot of people opting for streaming music services as opposed to download. And we really saw that in a big way through the end of December. Was, you know, a very large increase in the number of downloads and in-app subscriptions to the music service. So we're going to be putting out a press release here. It's going to be a joint release with Stingray that we're going to be putting out in the next couple of days, which will highlight some of the successes from the mobile app with some more concrete numbers. But I just wanted to let everyone know that it was a good season for the music downloads. We learned some things. It's still a new business for us, so we're still learning and growing the business and trying to understand how consumers are interacting with the service and how they want to use it. And for us, it was a very strong year, and we have some good takeaways as we look to grow the business and increase it for the following year. So I think with that being said, I'll wrap it up, leave some time for questions, and go from there.
All right. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone telephone. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone phone. We'll pause a moment to allow questions to queue. And we'll take our first question from Mike Schellinger of MicroCap Club. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, thanks for taking my question and good quarter. Regarding the kids products, can you give us an update on where you stand on those?
Sure. So we're going to be, as Bernardo mentioned, we're going to be heading to New York Toy Fair this coming weekend where we're going to be launching the line. We're looking at early shipments this year.
Late spring.
So we're looking to start production, start shipping here from the Orient probably around March, and we'll start taking in first deliveries into our warehouse around early summer to start shipping out from there.
And do you anticipate that will be one SKU, multiple SKUs? What kind of color can you give us at this point?
Sure. Well, I'll let Bernardo fill in. He's been really spearheading the kids line.
Yeah, I mean, no, we're planning to introduce a full line. We're gonna start at about $19.99, and we're gonna go up to about $59.99 on the line. So we're talking about a minimum of 7 unique SKUs, but when you add some colorations and some differentiations there, it could go up to 10. We're committed to this line, and I think that what that's going to allow us to do is, you know, we're pretty tapped out in some distribution with some of the majors, but this will allow us to cross promote within department stores, within the department. So we could cover the sing along toy market, and then we could also cover the higher end CE market in some of the retailers. So,
okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike.
And we'll take our next question from Sam Robotsky of Sir Asset Manager. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Have you had a lot of new products in the current year versus the previous year? So your breakdown of sales versus new and old, is there any significant changes that you could share?
No, I mean, this past year for calendar 2016, I think we only really introduced one or two new items.
Yeah, it was a similar cycle in terms of product development. You know, one of the big items, which was the Carnival, was actually introduced the year before in a small batch, just to get it out there. But for the most part, it was just the momentum of the items from the year before moving forward, and just some of the superstars continuing to rise in terms of sales. But it was a pretty normal mix for us in terms of new sale and old sale. We did see some pickup on newer items online, which take a little bit longer to sort of curate the sale, because they have to gain the algorithm, they have to gain the visibility online, and those take a little bit longer. So online, yes. Brick and mortar is a pretty normal mix of product from old to new.
Yeah.
And as far as children's products for the new year, do you expect some significant percentage increase in sales from that?
That's early still. I mean, we are presenting the items. The one thing that I would caution everybody is the toy cycle is a little bit longer lead time than the consumer electronics cycle. So toy meetings happen almost a year and a half beforehand, and they continue to go through all the toy trade shows that happen, you know, from Hong Kong to London to Nuremberg, you know, to New York. So the lead times there are longer, and there are some testing data requirements on the item that we're going through now. So we do think that there'll be an uplift, but I think we would really see a lot of that in, you know, when we start presenting for 2018 in mid 2017. So there'll be a mix of results there.
Okay. Is there any thoughts on the Trump discussion on imported products? What impact that might have on you, or?
Yeah, I mean, we've certainly talked about it. You know, it's a hot button in this industry as to what Trump's going to do. I mean, I don't. Right now, it's a big question mark. I don't think anybody knows what he's going to do. I'm not sure if he really knows what he's going to do. But it's certainly an interesting possibility out there.
Mm-hmm.
We would just hope that if something were to happen, that he would do it in a smart way and roll it out mm-hmm. with plenty of lead time for everyone to know. But right now, it's all a big unknown.
Yeah, we've had those discussions with our manufacturers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've tried to push some price increases, but for the most part, we've turned around with volume and they pretty much stayed put, you know, so far. So, yeah, I mean, we're monitoring, but it's been status quo for now.
Yeah, clearly the products, you know, it being imported are cheaper than they can be manufactured in the U.S., I assume. The problem, nothing is manufactured in the U.S. anymore, I guess.
Right. I mean, it's true. I mean, manufacturing in Asia is just, it's a fact. It's cheaper to do it over there than it is here in the States. You know, your labor cost over there is cheaper, materials, components, everything is just more affordable. So we'll see if any of that changes here in the next few years.
Okay. All right. Good luck, and hopefully the profits that you've generated could continue and get new products to improve going forward.
Thank you, Sam. Appreciate it.
As a reminder, it is star and one to ask a question. We'll take our next question from Joel Marcus of Network One Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, guys. Congratulations on a really great quarter. On a going forward basis, growth in revenues, which, you know, hopefully will, you know, lead to growth in the bottom line. Can you give some guidance as to where you see your revenue growth coming? Will a lot of it be in the United States? Will, you know, a certain percentage be overseas? It would seem that you have huge, huge untapped markets in Canada, in England, hopefully, you know, in the EU, which, you know, the EU has, you know, a greater, you know, population than the United States. You know, so where do you see, you know, on an overall basis, your future growth in revenues coming from in the company?
Yeah, so that, you know, that's a good question. So we don't give official, you know, projection guidance in terms of where we see revenue numbers, but I can talk a little bit about some of the trends, and I'm sure Bernardo could also talk a little bit about the trends. So, I mean, in terms of international, we're seeing some really good things happening internationally. Internally, we're making it a bigger focus to start exploring these new territories that we're not currently in order to become more of a global brand out there. So we're seeing, you know, really strong things. Like Bernardo mentioned, the UK was sold out again before Christmas. He had doubled his business from the year before. He's on track to significantly continue the trend this coming year. He's expanding into France, Germany, Italy, Spain. So we're definitely poised to see a lot of growth in that region. And you know, we're doing a lot of these trade shows like Toy Fair and CES, really with the mindset of cultivating and bringing aboard strong distributors in different respective countries to go after that business that we're not in now. And we're seeing some good progress there. So I think, you know, the trend here domestically in the States, you know, with the exception of one or two maybe large retailers that we're not already in, which we're aggressively pursuing, we're pretty much have really wide distribution. I think the toy line is going to help us in terms of opening up new doors that we're not currently in, giving us those really low price points. Helps open up a lot of retailers that we just typically haven't been in the past. So I think we're going to start seeing a little bit of growth from the toy line as well. You know, I see growth internationally. I see it domestically on the toy line. I see opportunities to pick up additional karaoke sales in new, unique kind of ways that we haven't really done before. So I think, you know, there's definitely a lot of room here to grow, not just on the hardware side and then additionally on the music content side.
Okay. You know, I really appreciate that. I've expressed the opinion to a lot of people that karaoke is here to stay. It's not a fad. It's not something transient. I mean, karaoke is like having a TV, you know, or even writ large, maybe even having a car. And, you know, automobiles have never reached saturation because new automobiles come out, new models come out. You know, obviously a machine, you know, has a tangible life. People will replace their machine and everything. I mean, do you agree with that sentiment? I mean, it's my opinion. You know, obviously I'm entitled to have an opinion and express that to people. But, I mean, I think this is here to stay. And there's a baseline of this, and that baseline, I think, is going to increase. And, you know, karaoke is something that's a permanent fixture, and you have a huge footprint in that, and your sales will continue to grow, you know, as you come out with new machines, as you come out with ancillary products for the machines, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, someone can't look at this as if, okay, somebody has a karaoke, that door is closed. They're going to want a new machine as you come out with new machines. I mean, the machine, you know, obviously, you know, after 3 or 4 years, they, you know, will want a new one anyway. So do you sort of agree with that, that what you're doing and what you have is something that's a permanent fixture, you know, on the landscape of, you know, consumer electronic products?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. First thing, you're hired, you know. let's get you out on the road. But, you know, the one thing that you have to take into consideration with karaoke is people are interacting with music at levels that have never been seen before. Music is readily available to anybody at any point in time on any device that they carry. You know, you have the music streaming, everybody's concentrating on music. Even original content that people are putting up on sites like SoundCloud or YouTube are making their ways into people's homes and devices. So the interaction with music is at an all-time high, and that plays extremely well with karaoke, because when we positioned ourselves as creating joy through music, you know, one of the things that we changed from the leader in home karaoke to creating joy through music was we're just one of those additional instruments that allow you to interact with music. So we're putting out products that are going to be a natural progression. So if you introduce for a song and you like it and you're singing it, now you want to buy a machine that maybe you can sing along with it. And the demographic of karaoke is one of the unique ones, right? I mean, it's from as soon as you start speaking until you are no longer around, you like to sing, and that bodes well for us. The other thing is the initial introduction to karaoke in the home is, you know, a parent or a grandparent buying a machine for a teenage kid, and now they're using it. But that then translates to parents wanting to interact with it and also throw in their own gatherings. And there goes the adding the second machine to the home that's a little bit more robust or has a little more features. So we see that out there. In terms of addressing your first question with distribution, you know, we have markets that are really on tap, like South America. You know, a lot of our border stores, any of our brick and mortar stores that border Mexico or that are heavy Spanish concentrated are some of our best selling stores. So California, Texas, Florida, Arizona, you know, Illinois, those states do above average sales. So we are in conversations now with somebody that not only could distribute our product but also could distribute the music content as well from a Spanish point of view, to go target those South America countries. We've noticed also Amazon Japan pop up with singing machine product that they're getting from distributor above distributor. So we're trying to start a direct conversation with them as well. So there are some markets that are on tap, and this is why we really wanted to launch the kids line as well, because, you know, that opens up, for example, Barnes & Noble that has a kids section, you know, where kids go to read. And now if if they're singing along to some nursery rhyme song, their parents could go out and maybe purchase them a kid's item. So, you know, it also opens up the supermarket, you know, that like to buy items under that $19.99 price point. So, you know, we are introducing products that are really not only focused on the top line sales, but mainly on just continuing to distribute the Singing Machine brand into markets and segments that we're currently not in.
I, you know, totally agree with that. And I mean, just, you know, to get back to the, you know, point, which is my opinion that karaoke is here to stay as a product, you know, in the consumer electronics market. I mean, if you once again compare this to a television, basically every home has not one TV, but has 2, 3, 4, 5 TVs in the living room. There's a TV in the kitchen. There's a TV in the bedrooms. There's a TV in the kids' room, et cetera. And I think the point you made is a huge area for growth in this, that, you know, homes are going to have, you know, a karaoke machine in the family room. The kids are going to have a karaoke machine in their room. So, I mean, I think there's huge growth inherent for you in the fact that homes are going to become 2 and 3 karaoke machine homes.
Yeah, we agree 100% with you, Joel. And just some hard facts to kind of back up what you're saying. I mean, on our website, the analytics, almost 70% of visitors to our website are brand new visitors. So we're not, you know, we're not selling to the same 1 million to 2 million people every year, but we're actively seeing new customers that have never used a karaoke machine before. We do a lot of surveys out to people that bought our machines, and same thing, 60 to 70% of people that are buying our machines are brand new customers, and this is their first time karaoke purchase. So they're not, so you can tell that it's new people that are coming aboard, and it's not sort of the same recycled crowd that are adopters that are buying the machines year over year, but it's really a new blood of people coming in every year. So I think that supports your theory.
Well, I've taken up enough of your time. Congratulations on a great quarter. Thank you so much. And I'm very thrilled, you know, to be a shareholder in this company. And, you know, I plan on being a shareholder for a long time. So thank you so much again.
Thank you, Joel. Appreciate it.
All right. And we will take our next question from Mike Schellinger of MicroCap Club. Please go ahead.
Yes. Can you comment on the unit sales year to date? Have they gone up or are they staying flat given the higher, I think you have higher ASPs this year?
We had slightly higher ASPs. In terms of number of units sold, I think we're on track to do about 1.5 million. 1.5 million. So a little bit higher from last year. I think you'll see roughly around the same 10% through the end of December number of units sold.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
And it appears that we have no further questions at this time.
Okay, well, again, I want to thank everybody for taking the time today to be a part of our third quarter earnings discussion. Stay tuned for next quarter where we'll have the same call, and we look forward to continuing our good success. So with that, I want to thank everyone again, and we'll talk to everybody soon.